Welcome, everyone, to this special Literary Escape bonus episode. A few announcements before we hop in. First, this is very exciting. The Literary Escape March Madness Book Edition will begin on Friday, March 1st. This is a fun battle of the books as readers vote for their favorite book series each week until we have a final winner. Last year, Crystal Cottle's series Hidden Hearts of the Gilded Age won our March Madness tournament. I cannot wait to see which series will be the winner in 2024. The first round of voting will be in this Friday's newsletter, so be sure to sign up for our newsletter if you have not already. Authors, How to Write Flash Fiction and Why You Should is coming on Thursday, March 21st at 6 p.m. Author Abby Downey will share how authors can leverage the power of flash fiction to grow their author platform. This class will not only give tips and tricks to make writing the shortest stories easier, but will also show you why you should try and how flash fiction can help you or help your writing career and marketing efforts. I have to say, I've already sat through this workshop with Abby. It's amazing. Lots of interactions and chances to apply and try things that she's teaching you. All right, enough with announcements. Let's dive into this fun episode. Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Abby Downey is our guest author for this bonus episode. Abby started writing inspirational romance stories during nap time when her kids were babies and found she couldn't stop. She previously published two books with love-inspired historical under the pen name Molly Campbell. She also works with Spark Flash Fiction, producing a quarterly digital magazine that contains love stories under 1,000 words. A lifelong Midwestern girl, Abby lives in central Indiana with her husband, two kids, and one rather enthusiastic beagle. She loves watching her kids play sports and fixing up a 1900s farmhouse with her husband. I'm so excited to have Abby with us today as we celebrate her newest book, An Uncertain Road, which launches today. Welcome, Abby. I'm so excited to have you here with us today on your launch day, by the way, for An Uncertain Road, to just kind of give us the inside scoop.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here to talk to you again.
Yes, I know. And I have to let our listeners know that Abby and I know each other because we're part of a writing group together. And we actually work on a board together for that writing group, which is exciting. So, and in case you're new to the podcast, Abby was our very first author that we had on here for her love-inspired books that she wrote a few years ago. So, all right. So what was your inspiration for An Uncertain Road?
Well, I'm always fascinated by little tidbits of history, and in particular, things women did in history that were so, we just don't expect. Now, when we look back, we think, oh, all the women were so oppressed and oh, they weren't able to do anything. But there were women who did everything at the very beginning of things starting up, science and industry and all these things. Women were involved. And sports is one of those same things where we think of women not being allowed to play men's sports and things like that. But at the beginning, they were there. And so this story is about a woman who drives a race car in 1905, which was not something that it wasn't necessarily accepted, but it was allowed for a short time at the very beginning of auto racing.
Wow. And unexpected, but on your research, did you find that it wasn't like prohibited necessarily? Just not. So it, and honestly, when you think about it, I think most women back then probably just preferred not to participate, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's what it was for a while. It wasn't necessarily prohibited at the beginning because nobody expected women to want to drive a race car. And the same in most of these sports. The next book in this series is about baseball, and it was the same thing. People just didn't expect women were going to want to do it. So at first it wasn't prohibited until they saw women were in it. And then they started making rules to say, oh no, this is just going to be men. This story was inspired by a real woman named Joan Newton Cuneo, who drove in this exact race that I have in the story. It was put on by what's now the AAA. And at the time, they let her first application through and she was able to drive. And I think maybe even in the second one of these, it was an annual race. But after that, they started prohibiting her from joining in the races. So there was just a really short amount of time where she was allowed to join.
Wow. Because I was going to ask, who was your inspiration for Flora? So obviously, you said Joan, is that right?
Yes, Joan Newton Cuneo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. So that's exciting to know that your character was based off as someone that really went through this adventure. Really, it was quite an adventure. I really liked how you wrote that. Are there any aspects of Flora, though, that come from someone else? Like personality wise, is she kind of like you, or is she like someone in your life? Do you draw on that, or do you just totally make everything up?
I mean, I kind of make it up. When I start a story, I generally have just a feeling about the character, who the characters are going to be, what they're going to be like. But at some point, I generally start to see some similarities to people in real life. Flora very much reminds me of my daughter, who is 9 right now. And she's just kind of a wild spirit and just jumps headfirst into everything. And it's just going to work out. I'm going to do it, and it's going to work out. And the book is dedicated to my daughter because of that. I just see that kind of wild wandering spirit in her, and Flora kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, that's awesome. Now let's talk about our hero a little bit. Jensen, who was your inspiration for him?
Again, I don't know if I had a specific inspiration at the beginning, but he just reminds me of, I've known so many of those men who just are kind of strong, silent types, and but they sometimes hide a lot of hurts and things mm-hmm. that have happened to them. And I feel like Jensen just kind of encompassed all of those men that I've known, like
yeah,
who are just strong and quiet, maybe don't put themselves out there a whole lot, but they have so much to offer, and they're just amazing people. If you can take the time to dig a little deeper and mm-hmm. get to know them.
Yeah, I thought he was very well written for the role that he plays in the story. And I liked how his desire was to protect mm-hmm. everyone near and dear to him. I mean, not just Flora. I mean, obviously that desire grew as the more time they spent together. But I loved how well you wrote that, because I like sometimes, you know, men are wired, God's wired them to protect, right? And yep. So sometimes it comes off really gruff and harsh, when really it's like their fear, this panic of, oh my word, you're going to get hurt, and I am to protect you. And I thought you just wrote that so well. Even though he's a quiet guy, he does have those moments where I don't know how to explain it. He kind of just comes out pretty strong, I guess, in that.
Yeah.
Role.
Yeah, he breaks out when it's important, when it's something he yes. needs to handle. Yes. And I appreciate yes. that you liked that portrayal of him because writing men is not the easiest thing for a woman.
No, it is not.
I want to get it accurate. I want it to be realistic. But I don't think like they do. So
I know,
that's always a struggle for me.
It is. My husband and I mean, even since we started dating, we had so many conversations about the difference between the way men think, act, react, and the way women, you know, do. And so I don't know if you do this, but when I'm writing, after I finish a scene that's from the guy's perspective, right? Yeah. And I'll give him some background about what's been happening. And this is how I have him reacting. I'm like, does that sound like a man? Do you do that with your husband?
I will occasionally, yeah. Yeah. Would you do this?
I don't know what you get back, but a lot of times my husband's like, not what I would do, but I could see maybe a guy doing that.
Yes. Yeah. You know?
I'm like, okay, as long as it doesn't sound like, because it's easy, I think, for us women to write men, I don't want to say like in a Hallmark way, but in this like perfect dream world way that maybe we think of men, but men just don't operate that way.
Yes. Maybe how we wish they would react to things sometimes, or
Yeah. Just from our perspective, but you did a great job. I fell in love with Jensen. He was wonderful. So now the name of the car that Flora drives, right?
Yeah.
How you say that. Okay. First I'd like to know why you chose it, but I would love to know how you say the name of it because I don't think I don't know. You tell me and then I'll tell you how I did it.
Okay. In my mind, I say it De Carville.
Okay.
I don't think that is the correct French pronunciation because it is a French car, but that is how I'm saying it in my head.
Okay. And I looked at it and I don't know French at all, by the way.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I said Ducaville. But I don't know if that's right. I say I don't know French at all. And then my last name, my married name is French. So.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Anyways, so the car didn't have a top on it, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
It's called a tonneau, which is an open car. Mm-hmm.
So why did you choose that one for her?
Well, there was, in my research about the 1905 Glidden Reliability Tour, which is the race that they run in the book, there was a De Carville brand car that ran in it. It was not driven by the female driver, but it was driven by somebody else. And I thought with Flora coming from France, she's American, but she had been in France for the last few years. She married a Frenchman and she returns to America with her French mother-in-law. And in France, racing had already been a big deal, auto racing, for quite a few years in Europe. They did long tours that would take several weeks. And so in the story, that's how she learns how to drive, as her husband was an auto racer. And she, at the time, they would have a mechanic who rode along in the car with the driver because they were long races and because they were over rough roads and things broke all the time. So to have a mechanic right there, they would just have him ride along. So her husband was the mechanic and he taught her to drive so they could race together. And when he passed away, she returns to America with her mother-in-law. And she just brings her car with her because she had that car. It was a great racing car. And so I chose that because she had been in France and because it was a car that was actually in the reliability tour that year. And an interesting tidbit about those cars is they were only produced for a few years in the early 1900s. And they were actually built by a railroad company that built train cars and tried to get into automobiles for just a little while.
And then decided not for them.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it didn't work out for long.
Oh, wow. That is interesting. So I do have to ask, so now we'll try to answer this question without giving too much away. Okay. But was the way the race ended your first choice or did you have other ideas about how you wanted that race to end?
That was always my first choice.
Okay.
That was one of the scenes, that I had in my head from early on when I was writing. You know, I'll have a few scenes kind of set through the book that I are kind of benchmarks, you know, to write towards, like, I know this is coming. That was one of those scenes. It is inspired by an actual event in the 1905 Glidden Tour, and I really wanted to include it. An event that the female driver, this is inspired by Joan Cuneo, was actually involved in. So mm-hmm. I wanted to include that moment from the beginning. And I can't remember. It's been quite a while. It took me a long time to write this book. So it's been a while since I first planned it. I can't remember if I had everything turning out exactly that way from the beginning, but mm-hmm. I think I did. It seems to me like I probably did.
I loved it because it leads to such a restoration mm-hmm. and a redemption for some characters. So I really enjoyed it. But that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to give it away for anyone who hasn't read it yet, which you probably haven't read it yet because it came out today. So
yay!
I was incredibly blessed that you allowed me to be on the launch team. So I got to read it ahead of time and loved it. So, and if you want a little bit more, I have a review podcast episode that I put out a couple weeks ago on it as well. So for our listeners, if you haven't kept up on those. But anyways, you shared some of these already, but what are some other fun facts you did that you discovered as you were researching?
Well, one of my favorite, okay, there's two scenes that are my favorites in the book, I think. One of them happens before the race starts mm-hmm. when there are four of people going on the tour together with Flora and Jensen, and then his kind of adopted sort of brother and his wife, because in the reliability tours, they would have people riding along. There were usually 4 to 6 people in the car.
Oh, wow.
And so it's this foursome, they go to Coney Island before the race starts in New York. It was so fun to research that. I've never been there. It was just so fun to research what it was like in 1905 and some of the fascinating amusement rides that they had at the time. And one of them, I had to include it in detail. It's called A Trip to the Moon. And they built this moving kind of vehicle that people would sit in, and they mm-hmm. would use like canvas backdrops and like fans to blow wind around and make it feel like you were going to the moon. And then you got out and you walked down this little hallway decorated like it was the moon somehow. I didn't find any pictures, but I read descriptions of it. And you went into a room, and one account said that they had pieces of green cheese that you could sample, like sitting around the room. And I thought it was so weird. I had to include it.
Okay. I loved that scene, by the yes. way. This whole, like, I dare you type thing
yes.
that plays
oh,
out.
I loved that.
And yeah. I would totally be like Flora. Oh, you dared me. I'm going to do
yeah.
it. And then,
yeah.
but I didn't realize it was real. Like, they really had green cheese.
There was an account I read that said they did. Now, I couldn't find, like I said, pictures or a lot of proof, but I thought it was worth including for the fact that it might have happened at one point.
Oh, wow. Well, it was a great yeah. scene. Readers are going to love it. So,
yeah. And I will say my other favorite is the middle of the book where they stop for a kind of a long break at the Mount Washington Hotel in, I think it's in New Hampshire. And that is still a functioning resort. It's beautiful. They've restored it gorgeously. And there was a hill climb, which is a race up Mount Washington that I think they still do today. At the time, it was, I want to say it was maybe the second year that they had done an auto race up this mountain with these sharp hairpin turns and all this craziness.
Yeah.
And there's just so much interesting stuff about that mountain. It actually has set... Mount Washington holds a record for I think it's the highest wind speed on Earth. Like the wind blows the hardest there on
wow.
all of the Earth. So it's just, all of that was just so fascinating.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And I will say that scene, that racing scene mm-hmm. for me was a nail biter. Just, you wrote it so well, but just thinking about racing up a mountain where it's not like a real road. I mean, if there's a road there, but not
Yeah, it was at the time it was kind of a gravel like trail. Now it's a paved road, but at the time it was more like a gravel trail. It was very treacherous. Yeah. There was rock. It's all these tight turns and you're trying to go as fast as you can. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's a nail biting because I've been down to the Smoky Mountain park, you know, yeah. And there is a section, I can't remember the name of it, but there was a homestead that was from my family. It was a Messer homestead, but it was down in the valley. And the only way at the time to get there was a road like that on the side of the mountain. And it was gravel and it was one car and they would have have some spots where you could have to inch by. So the whole time you're looking at the edge and we're creeping, but then we think if someone's coming out of the valley while we're trying to get in, I don't want to have to back up to a two lane spot. Right. I mean, it was pretty treacherous. So, I mean, I had that as a, something to compare it to. And as I'm reading it, I'm like,
yes, there's actually, videos of that. I think it was either that year or 1906. It's that race, the hill climb. And, you know, video cameras were pretty new, but they would just take these videos of everything. And it's exactly like you described there. That's just exactly what it is. There were only a few spots where it was wide enough to go around. Everything is just clinging to the edge of the mountain with these sheer drop offs on the side. Yeah, it looked terrifying.
Yeah. I just remember once we got down there to the valley, I said, I kind of don't want to go back.
I don't know if I can get back out of here.
That's right. So can you tell us then about, because you have two more books coming out in this series. So can you give us a little about what those will be about?
Sure. So book number two is going to be about a female baseball umpire in 1907. She umpires for a semi-professional league in Chicago. And that may not ring a bell to everybody. If you're a big baseball fan, maybe a Cubs fan, Chicago in 1907 is going to be important to you. That was one of their World Series wins. And they were dominating at the time. And I do include the Cubs several times in the book. It's super fun. I loved writing that story because my son is amazing, incredibly into baseball and knows so much. He has so many stats and so many details in his head. And it was so fun to pick his brain and help him remind me about how, how everything would work in baseball. He was my go-to resource. But it's a super fun book about a female umpire who, again, was inspired by a real woman and a pitcher for a semi-professional team. It's just a super fun story. He's one of my favorite heroes I've ever written. And then book number three, and that's, book two will come out in November. So that's coming. And then book number three in that series will come out next year in July. I think it was July. And that's going to be about a woman who starts an explorers club. So it takes place in 1910. And I was inspired by there's an explorers club in New York that has been going since before that, probably right around the turn of the century, maybe really late 1800s. And they have sponsored all the big expeditions, the North Pole, the South Pole, the trip down to the Titanic, the moon landings. They've had members go to the moon, things like that. But they didn't allow women in until 1983. And that just got me. That just got me when I learned that. I was already born and they still didn't allow women in. So I'm really excited to share a story of a woman who wants to go on adventures and do exciting things. So that will be coming after next year.
Oh, that is exciting. Yeah, I can't wait to read those books as well. So where can readers purchase An Uncertain Road?
Well, it's available on most retailers. It is available in print and in ebook. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart has the print copies available at online. It's not in stores. Let's see. I'm trying to think where else. Apple Books has it. It will be on Kindle Unlimited. So you can buy it lots of places. And it, the best place to find that would be to go to my website, which is abbydowney.com. And you can find buy links and all that sort of thing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So how can our listeners connect with you then? Obviously going to your website, but and signing up for your newsletter would be a great way, right?
That would be a great way. Yep. You get fun stuff with my newsletter. I write a lot of flash fiction. Yes. I work with a flash fiction magazine. And so I love flash fiction, which is stories under 1,000 words. They're super quick reads. But I do give away a lot of free ones with my newsletter sign up. So you can get some quick little stories that way. And on my website, you'll find links to I'm on Facebook and Instagram for the most part. I do have Pinterest if you want to just see inspiration pictures for my stories and things like that. So you can connect with me in any of those ways.
That's wonderful. And like we mentioned earlier, An Uncertain Road is available today. Today is the launch day. So you can be among some of the first to purchase Abby's book, which is so exciting, which I highly recommend. And again, if listeners, if you want a deeper dive to see if it is the right fit for you bookwise, I have an episode that came out a couple weeks ago that kind of just dives into it. It's my review of the book. So, but I highly recommend it. I'm one that reads, if listeners have listened for a while, they know that I like a lot of adventure, a lot of romance, but I do find enjoyment out of others that aren't high on this, but I'm telling you the adventure in this one is quite fun. I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Abby, so much for joining us. And I hope that your book launch is amazing.
Oh, thank you. It was so fun to talk with you.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider following our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, along with on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.